All right, this morning, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 2, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. We are in the month of December, and so our focus is upon the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the world focuses a little differently, but we focus upon the birth of a Savior. He that loved us so much that He came to this world in a miraculous way. Nobody was ever born like Jesus was born. And you look at the life of the Lord, you'll find that no one ever lived like He lived. And no one ever died like He died. And so our focus should be totally, whether it be December or whether it be June or July, whatever the month is or whatever the day is, as a child of God, our focus should be upon this one that did so much for us in coming. And we are in December that we think about His birth. And this morning I want to read these verses concerning the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the passage that gives us the story of the coming of the what we're called wise men as they came seeking out the Lord. And then the encounter they had with Herod that was a great deceiver and a great hater of the things of God. So let's look in verse number 1 of Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, and for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures and presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and being warned of God in a dream they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and were there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the Lord by the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt have I called my son.'" This account here that we use so many times in connection with the birth of the Lord is a story of a man that had a terrible attitude toward the king of Israel. King Herod. We come to this season, we find there are a lot of attitudes that sort of go along with his. So I want us to think this morning, I'm going to give three or four different concepts or attitudes toward Christmas. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves in some of those attitudes. I hope we can find ourselves in the last one that I give, and you probably already know what that is. But we come to the season of Christmas, we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as these wise men came, they came to worship the Lord Jesus. They had seen his star, and the star guided them. And when they came to Jerusalem, Herod heard the story and heard the message, and all of Jerusalem was troubled at the words, because they were coming to worship that which was born King of the Jews. You know, there's a few years ago, there was a book written, and there's been movies given out since that. And when I give you the title, some of you will immediately go to it and remember that. But the book was entitled, and the movie was also entitled along the same line, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I think there's a new one out this year along that line also. And the story goes that this Grinch, he hated Christmas, and so before Christmas started, or before Christmas was to take place, he goes out that night and steals everything that has anything to do with Christmas, because he thought that would do away with Christmas. But he found out that Christmas was more than just the things that we have and things we get. And he decides to steal all the decorations, and he learns that doesn't do any good. Well, I believe Herod found out, and in his life, that it didn't do any good for him to try to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. Today the world tries to steal the real story and the message of Christmas away from us, and really they do a better job of it than even the Grinch did, or even Herod did, because rather than to steal it away, the world has just replaced it with other things. This world system that we live in, and this society that we find ourselves, is an expert at replacing things. Society has replaced creation with evolution. We don't hear too much about creation as far as the world is concerned, unless they're making light of that. I read where when the ark opened up on the other side of Kentucky, some of the schools were making trips there, and some of the public schools, and they were warned not to go there because of the story or the message that was given was totally false. That's how they replace things. I find that during Christmas time, Santa Claus has replaced Christ. He knows everything about you. He does look at you, and he gives you gifts according to your good works. And so Santa Claus, as far as the world is concerned, has replaced the Lord. We find that greed has replaced the real meaning of the gift. I'll guarantee you that probably every one of us in here have already said this year, I just don't know what to give you. I don't know what to get for you. I don't know what to give to this person. And we are all in that mentality that it's all about giving. Well, Christmas was about giving, but it's not our giving, but it's his giving to us. And we give gifts that we don't want to buy, to people that we don't want to give them to, and they look at them and say, why did I get that? And so many times we bring it all down to what the world has portrayed to us what Christmas is. Did you ever notice out here at Walmart, they've got all these metal storage things down one side of the parking lot? You wonder why that is? That's full of things for people to buy. And they don't have enough storage space in their building, so they have to bring in all these different storage buildings to line them up. And boy, they're lined up all the way down the parking lot. And when Christmas is all over, they'll all disappear because we have fallen in, and our world has fallen into the thing that I've just got to give somebody something. And so we go out and spend the money sometimes that we do not have, and it takes all year to pay what we've spent on Christmas, and the credit cards are maxed out, and the bank account is empty, but we had a good Christmas. That's how the world portrays a Christmas. And so this morning, I want us to just think a little bit about the attitudes that people have and the world has about this wonderful day that we will celebrate as a child of God that we call Christmas. Some people literally hate Christmas. Now, don't do like I do, and sometimes I say, boy, I just don't like Christmas. What I don't like is the attitude of Christmas people. What I don't like is the attitude of the stores, and it's all about what we spend and what we go after and what we get. You know, it's a pretty important holiday for the retailers because they start showing Christmas things even before Thanksgiving. And I noticed this year, even before Thanksgiving, the bell ringers were out wanting you to donate to them. That usually happens after Thanksgiving to Christmas Day. But they started 2 or 3 weeks early this time. You know why? Because we're in the attitude of giving. We're in that way of giving, and there's nothing wrong with helping and giving to people that have need. But what is focused to us now is how much and what will we buy. Some people hate Christmas, just like, and we'll call it Christmas because of the story, just like Harry did. I guess you could call him the first Grinch. He tried to steal it away. He tried to destroy it. He tried to get it out of the thoughts, the memories, and the ideas of the people around him. He hated the idea that there's one coming. And he's called king. And, of course, Herod was king at that time. And he was very jealous over the position that he had. And so this one that is called the king of the Jews or the king of Israel, he did not want him to be around. And so he set out to destroy. And there are people today that still try to destroy him because they hate the idea of a holiday that portrays the Son of God. The ACLU continually brings lawsuits to remove the word Christ and to remove any type of religious symbol that is set along the roadside or upon a park or somewhere, because it's not that they hate that symbol, but they hate the one that symbol represents. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. In the public arena, it's now many, many people say happy holidays and season greetings rather than Merry Christmas. And they are really good at replacing these things and sounding all right. Isn't it strange that in our schools it's all right to sing Frosty the Snowman and Here Comes Santa Claus, but you can't sing Silent Night? Replacing what it's all about. The attitude is nothing new, because probably no one ever hated the attitude, the thought of a child being born than this King Herod did, and it continues on. He tries to get the wise men to follow the star and then let him know where they find this Christ, because he wanted to come and give gifts or worship. No, he wanted, as the scripture says there in verse number 13, because Herod will seek the child to destroy him. That's his attitude. That's the way he wanted it. He became consumed with a hatred, even to the point of giving out a decree to kill all the young boys, destroy the children 2 years and under. And so the Lord gives Joseph a symbol, a sign, and says, "Now you leave, you get out of this place, go to Egypt." And they stayed there till Herod died. Because Herod was after this little boy called Jesus. Well, I'm glad this morning he's not a little boy, but the world is still after this man called Christ. The world is still out to seek to destroy, and their hatred evolves and goes farther and goes up more and more all the time. And they just continually come after the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Psalm number 75, verse number 6 and 7, says, For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. All this crowd today that is destroying and trying to do away with what we know is true, one day God will put them down. One day they will be no more. One day they will be just a figment of imagination. One day they'll just be a thought or a memory. But Jesus Christ lives on and on. And so some people come to their thoughts that they just literally hate Christmas. All they might give some gifts, but they hate the idea of Christmas. I hate their attitude toward Christmas. I think I read not too long ago that suicide rate goes up during the Christmas season. No wonder. No wonder it does, because all you hear is that which is a down and that which is not able to do, and you're consumed with what the world puts before them. And so we find that there are those that destroy and those that tear down, those that hate. And the scripture says that he came and he was born of a virgin. Thank God this morning that we have a Savior that was not like you and I. He did not have Adam's blood. He had perfect, pure, spotless, wonderful blood flowing through his veins, and gave that blood one day that I might have life. And so therefore we need to love Christmas. We need to love the meaning of Christmas. We need to love the idea that God gives us, and the story that God gives us, that he was born. Even religion distorts and destroys the meaning of Christmas. There are those that will worship Mary more than they do the Lord. There are those that will worship her and saying, just because the scripture says, blessed art thou, Mary, among women. And they elevate and they're, again, they are very good at replacing. Even religion can do that. But you and I this morning, we know that Jesus was born of a virgin, and she was chosen of the Lord. And I heard even a message this morning that sometimes we think of Mary being a full-grown adult lady and probably maybe 14 or 15 years of age, according to the traditions of that day. So here's what we would consider a young girl giving birth to a Savior. And the Lord gives her the announcement, and the angel tells her that you're going to give birth to a son. And so Mary knew some things that this world does not know. So some people hate Christmas, and there are some people that just try to steal it away. They try to change it so much that it has no effect upon us, because our attentions get diverted. Every one of us this season, from now, what we have 3 weeks and then one day or something to Christmas, every one of us will be taking that extra time that we might have, going to a store that we don't want to go to, and looking for things that we don't know why we're looking for them or what we're going to find. And we're going through all the motions, and all of a sudden our attention is diverted to things rather than the main thing, which is the Son of God. We find ourselves so busy and caught up in the things of the season. And I like the season. I like the music. I like the decorations. I'm getting tired of the movies, but they're still there. And all those, y'all are laughing. You know what I mean. It's a Christmas story / love story. There's three people involved. They want you to think they're going to get that one. And in the last 5 minutes, it's all worked out. You know who it was anyway. Just watch the last 15 minutes. You got the whole story. And so, but they spread it out over 2 hours. And as soon as that one goes off, say, boy, that was pretty good. That's okay. Here comes another ding, 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 another Christmas movie. And it has the same plot, it has the same thing, it has the same result, just different people. That's sort of like the world, isn't it? But this morning, we ought to focus and not have our attentions diverted to the things of this world and to the even the pretty. I love the decorations. I love to. We have at times gone through subdivisions that the whole subdivision sees who can outdo who. That's part of that greed, part of that attitude. But you go through there and say, "Boy, isn't that pretty? Boy, that looks good." And you go down the road and say, "I believe that's the best one there is." And you go a little further. "Now, I believe this one's the best." And so that's the season that we are in, and thank God for the beauty of it. But when our attention is diverted just to that, then we've lost the whole story. We might see Santa Claus on the roof. We might see the reindeers. We might see the snowmen. We might see the nativity scene. We might see all those things. But it's really all about Him. It's really all about this little baby that was born there in Bethlehem that was prophesied in the book of Micah that He was going to be born, and He came just like the Scripture said He was. I'm amazed at how many times the Bible says that the Scripture might be fulfilled. If it's in the Scripture, you can guarantee it will be fulfilled. Amen. You can guarantee it'll be just like what God said it would be. He'll work it out that it'll be just exactly. It wasn't any mistake that Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem. It wasn't any mistake that taxes were to be collected and they had to go back to. It wasn't a mistake. That's the way God planned it. That's the way God got them from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. Because the Scripture must be fulfilled. And so this morning there are those that hate it. There are those that want to steal it away. Our attentions get diverted. Our focus is rather on the worldly aspect of Christmas. You know, there's two Christmases, really. Just like there's two Jews. There is the Orthodox Jew that is very connected with the Old Testament. And then there is the national Jew that they might not know anything about the Word of God, but they're all Jews. Well, there's two Christmases. There are those that we know what it's all about, and there are those that just celebrate the season in which we live. And so our attitudes, our focus gets diverted from the real meaning of that. And doing that, the world tries to rob the Lord Jesus Christ from His preeminence. The Bible tells us in the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 17, He is above all things, and by Him all things consist. He is above all, and everything consists because of Him. That makes Him pretty important, doesn't it? You know why we're here this morning? Because of Him. You know why this building exists this morning? Because of Him. You know why this world rotates and we can tell the hours and the months and the years and the decades? You know why that the scientists that deny there is even a God can launch a instrument to go from planet Earth to planet Mars and know exactly when it's going to set down, know exactly where it's going to set down? Because it consists of Him. Order is there. And it's amazing to me that they can take what they think come into existence out of disorder and can think that everything is so orderly just by accident. And so this morning, there are those that want to divert our attention away from Him. The point of Christmas is the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes ambitions get exalted. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to maybe give more. What am I going to get? You know, some people will give you something and then they say, "Wonder what I'm going to get back from them." That's the wrong spirit of the season. God the Father gave His Son. He gave His life that we might live. He gave that we might one day receive. He gave that one day we might hear the message and come to know salvation. He gave His life that we might live eternally forever and forever, and our life should be exalted because of Him. So many people are concerned only with what they can get. I think society is that way. I think our world is that way. What can I get? What do you have for me? I almost preached a message this morning. What do we have to offer? We don't have much to offer. We just have grace. We just have the Word of God. Now, the world has a lot to offer. They got their bright lights. They've got their deals, and they got their money. They've got their ways. They've got a lot to offer. But this morning, what do we have to offer? We have a offer of a man that died upon Calvary, born of a virgin, and gives us life. So some people hate Christmas. Some people try to just steal it away and be done with it. Do you know there are people in our country, some of them in rulership and authority, that they wish we would just do away with Christmas and any religious holiday altogether? They want us to be a secular nation. We're well on our way. The word secular means without God. And when somebody tells you that we go to a secular school, that's not a good term. That's not a good thought. Go to a school without God. There's a lot of them, by the way. And so they try to steal it away. I know, I understand thoroughly that there are some people that just misunderstand Christmas. There are some people that just don't understand what it's all about. That's where we come into play. We should be able to tell them. I believe Herod misunderstood the coming of the King of Israel. He was so concerned about his kingdom that he was concerned about this man that was born King of the Jews. He didn't understand it. He misunderstood. So what did he do? He called all the religious group together. That's a lot of times what the world does. He calls all the, as we read there, he gave the chief priests, the scribes, and that's the religious crowd, and he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Well, they were smart enough that they knew that he was in Bethlehem. And so he thinks he's telling the wise men to go to Bethlehem. No, he didn't tell them where to go. The Lord led them with his star. He had to learn it from religious people. Where's this man? Where's this one that's King of the Jews? Where is he born? And he lets on like that he might want to worship him. He says, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and, what's the next word? Worship. Oh, no, he misunderstood what it was all about. He was a liar. He wasn't going to worship. He wanted to destroy, as verse 13 tells us. There are those that would just simply misunderstand the reason. I believe when you look around the malls and the stores, I believe they misunderstand Christmas, either unintentionally or intentionally. They have gotten so busy with their collection of money that they absolutely nothing else matters. That's why Black Friday has become Black Thursday and Black Saturday and Black Sunday and Black Monday. And oh, we've got the whole month of Black Friday. You know what that's all about? It's what they can bring to their coffers. Because Christmas is the season of buying and giving. It's all the secular thought and the idea. And they just misunderstand what it's all about. They've gotten busy with their collection. Nothing else matters. The only reason for a manger season that maybe go up is because it draws attention that this is the time of Christmas. Now we find that through this group that wants to destroy it, they don't even want to have a manger scene on what's it called, public property, government property. The government does not want anything to do with the child of God. Well, I'm glad to hear that even though the nativity scene was taken out of the White House yard for 8 years, it's put back in this year. It speaks volumes to me. And so we find that for the most part, people deliberately manipulate and tear down and destroy that which we know is real. If there had not been a birth of the Son of God, there would be no salvation. If he had not been born of a virgin, we would die without God and without hope. We'd die just like the world tells us, we're just an animal anyway, so don't worry about it. I've met people that said, well, we're no different than animals. I've got news for them. We're a whole lot different. We're made in the image of God. That's where evolution has destroyed the effectiveness in hearts and minds of people. So Jesus, for the most part, has been replaced by shepherds and sheep and reindeer and elves and Santa and his helpers and all those things that go with it. His star has sort of gone out as far as effectiveness. It's amazing how many people that do not even accept the Lord Jesus Christ on their Christmas tree, there is a star right at the top. You know what that represents? That star that led the wise men from the eastern part of their world to seek out this man or this child that would be born King of the Jews. There was no room for the Lord in the inn, but they did find a manger. There possibly was in a maybe a dry stable. Mangers could be outside, and possibly he was inside. But even the world of centuries ago had no room for him. The world today still has no room. They hate it. They steal it away. They misunderstand it. But thank God for you and I and people like us that we understand the real meaning of when we say Christmas. We understand that it is a celebration of life. Not only his life, but thank God my life. Not only the life of the Son of God, not only the life of a child being born of a virgin, but thank God of an individual that was born again by the Son of God. Born again by the Spirit of the Lord, and the reason that we, the reason we worship, the reason we care, the reason that we read these verses with adoration and even in worship attitude is because we know why he came. Thank God he came to save, to seek and to save that which was lost. So the world can hate it, the world can steal it. They don't steal it from us. The world can hate it, but it don't make us hate it. The world can misunderstand it, but thank God, through his word, I can understand. There was a child born one day, and his name was called Jesus. And when those wise men, and by the way, they were wise men. We have tradition tells us they were three of them. Catholic tradition, I think, even gives them a name. The scripture doesn't do that. We have the tradition that we have three because they brought three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All of those pointing very clearly toward the life and the death of Jesus Christ. But the wise men usually traveled in crowds of 20 to 30. So there may have been as many as 30 wise men that day. And they came seeking. We've seen his star. And I like the way the Bible puts it. It says his star is different than any other that's ever been or ever would be. And it moved across the sky. Stars don't move across the sky to the point that we follow their direction that rapidly. Well, that star did. because it was his star. And he was guiding, God was guiding these wise men to the very point to where the King of the Jews was born. They probably had no idea where it would be. And it guided them to Jerusalem for a purpose, for a reason. That those scribes and those religious people would tell Herod, here's where he's born. And so when they depart another way, and they don't come back and tell Herod what he wanted to tell them, he gets very upset. He says in verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently required of the wise men. 2 years and under. He hated the message of a king. Thank God this morning I'm glad I know the message of a king. And one day this little baby that's born in Bethlehem, snatched away out of Bethlehem, taken to Egypt till Herod died because of the decree. This little baby that grew and confused the religious crowd of his day and the as they traveled, and he confused them with what he knew about the Scripture. He knew all about the Scripture. He's the author of it. This young boy that confused and confounded the religious leaders, now he grows and he has a gathering, he has a following, and that same religious crowd hates him just like Herod did. And they sought how they might kill him. Oh, they thought they did a great deed that day when they took him and scourged him and put the crown of thorns upon him and put him on a cross, and there that day he died. They thought they did a great deed. Well, they just did what God had foreordained they would do. This little baby that was born, now is a man, he dies sinless for the sinner. And just as Herod sought to kill him, the world seeks to destroy him, thank God he delivers us time and time and time again. He is able to deliver thee, not only from sin, but thank God from situations and even the days ahead of us. So the real meaning of Christmas is that there was a baby born, but that's not the end of the story. There was a man that died. Thank God for the man called Jesus, who died for my sins and your sins alike. And not only for us, but for the sins of the whole world, that he might have a gathering, that he might have a family, that one day he could house in heaven in a place that he's prepared for us. Praise the Lord this morning for Christmas. Don't let the world divert your attention. Don't let the crowds destroy your attitude. Don't get caught up, as we all do, in the spirit of the worldly attraction of Christmas. But may we always remember the other side of the coin, which shows the Son of God dying for you and I. Thank God for the right attitude of Christmas. Let's stand together this morning.